One of the worst feelings in life is to wait. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I don't know about you, but like I'm one of the worst waiters around. You put me in traffic and make me wait, you might see me sin. I'm not proud of it. I'll confess it, but I'm not good at waiting. Now, you put me in a line at a grocery store, I'll analyze the age, the speed of the checker versus the volume of groceries in the person's cart in front of me, and I'll come up with a calculus equation to determine which one is the faster. How many of you know it's hard to wait, especially when you're waiting on God? Do any of you know what I'm talking about? Some of you have been waiting a long time, and you've been praying for something. God, I'm praying and I'm believing and asking that you would bring me a spouse. I want to be married. Or you've been praying and waiting on God to help you in your marriage. God, please do something. I need your help. Or you've been asking God to help you get pregnant, or to heal from your depression, or to get out of your debt. Some of you, you've been waiting on God for so long, you wonder if God is even listening. Does he even care? Is he even there? If you've ever felt like God is taking too long, Jesus understands. Today we're resting with the question, why is God so slow? We are in a message series called Been There. And I want to say, for the most part, whatever pain you're facing or whatever challenge you're enduring, Jesus has most likely been there. If you hate waiting on God, God, why is it taking so long? Jesus has actually been there too. And I'm going to show you how exactly he was waiting on God. And I can't get into his mind, but you can imagine if he was God in the flesh, which he was, even as a child, he would have known his mission was to come and to seek and save the lost, to give his life as a ransom, to pay the price to save us from the penalty of our sins, that he came to give his life and life more abundantly. And yet, he had to wait 30 years before he ever started his public ministry. 30 years. If I'm watching the show and it buffers for 3 seconds, I'm watching a different show. He had to wait 30 years before he ever got the green light to do the very mission that he was sent to do. And so, if you've ever found yourself impatient or obsessing about time, you aren't the only one. In fact, John, one of the disciples in John's gospel, John was actually pretty obsessed with time as well. It's really interesting. If you read his gospel, you'll see him use the word time over and over and over again. 35 different times John mentioned the word time. Then 7 different times he actually quoted Jesus as talking about a specific hour or the time that would come. In other words, Jesus said a few times, my time has not yet come, or my hour has not yet come. And then another time he said, my hour has almost come. And then Jesus finally said, my time or my hour has come. In fact, I'll show you one of those examples in John 2, just to kind of give you an example. It's the story of when Jesus went to a wedding where he changed water into wine. He changed water into wine, which is wine drinkers' favorite Bible story. And they quote it all the time. And then everybody else says, but it was non-alcoholic wine. And we'll save that debate for another sermon. But we might as well acknowledge it's there. And so in John's Gospel, John 2:3, the text tells us this, that the wine supply at this wedding ran out during the festivities. Now, this is funny to me. So Jesus' mother told him, they have no more wine. Now, I'm going to pause there just for fun and tell you, this actually sounds like a statement, but this isn't a statement. This is actually a command. She was saying, do something about this. And the reason I know is because when she said it, she said, they have no more wine. She raised her eyebrow. You say, well, how do you know that? It's not in the Bible. But God just showed me that she did that because I've seen it so many times. It's actually an assignment. The trash is full, and that means do something about the trash. And so Jesus' mother was getting into his business, and she said, the wine, they're running out of wine. And Jesus says, dear woman, that's not our problem. Now, watch what he said. Jesus replied, my time has not yet come. It's not God's timing for me yet. I'm waiting until God says, go. There are four different times in John's gospel alone that Jesus says, my time has not yet come. It's hard to wait. Not God's timing yet. I know he can do it, but he hasn't done it yet. It's really, really hard when you know he can and you don't know why he doesn't. And if you're even like a normal Christian, honest enough to get past the Sunday school type answer, sometimes you go, where is God? Why isn't he doing anything about this? What is God doing while I'm waiting? And I want to try to answer that question with scripture today. What is God doing while you're waiting? And the good news is that while you are waiting, God is working. While you're actually waiting and trusting on God, Scripture says he is active in ways that you may not even know. The Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah 64, verse 4 says, since the world began, meaning all times, always, forever and ever, no ear has heard and no eye has seen a God like you who works for those who wait for him. While you are waiting, God is working. Now that may raise the question. You might ask, well, how is he working? What's he doing? And I'll try to answer that according to God's word. And the answer is, sometimes God is working on it, whatever it is, that it that you want, he's working on it because it's not ready yet. You're waiting and he's working on it. Why is God taking so long? Why isn't God doing what I know He can do? I'm praying for my husband. He's still not nice. I'm asking God to take my depression away. I'm still battling with depression. I'm praying, God, I know You can take my migraines away. Why won't You, God? Why is God taking so long? Maybe He's working on it. It's not ready yet. Or maybe you're not ready yet. Maybe God's working on you. What I found is a lot of times I'll ask God, why won't You give me what I want? I want it now. And there are almost times where I feel like God would say, you can't handle it yet. Some of you right now, you'll find this. You're praying for something like, God, I just give me some money. God, give me some money. God, give me some money. And God's like, you can't handle what you have. You can't handle what money you have. So why would I give you more? You got to get, you know, why don't you become faithful to what you've got before I give you a little bit more? Maybe you think I've got to be talking about your friend. I'm not talking about you. He must be talking about my friend. God, give me more influence. God, I just want more influence. I just want more influence. God might say, I'm going to grow your character before I increase your influence. I don't want your talent to take you somewhere where your character can't keep up. God may say, I want to mature you. I want to do something in you. He may be teaching you right now while you're waiting to trust Him. If He just gave it to you, you just kind of keep going on. And maybe He's teaching you to depend on Him in a way that you wouldn't otherwise. He's doing something in you. What I found is that sometimes God does something in you before He does something through you. Sometimes He'll do something in you before He does something for you. And you see all sorts of examples in Scripture. There was Saul. You may remember. The guy that hated Christians and persecuted Christians, killed Christians. And he had this radical conversion when he was blinded by the light. And Saul became Paul. And all Paul wanted to do was preach. I just want to preach. Give me a chance to preach. Jesus saved me, and I want to tell people about the good news of the gospel. And he wanted to preach. And depending on what commentaries or what scholars you read, some will say that it was about a decade, maybe longer, that he was building tents while God was building character or building the word into him, before he could fully use his gift. Maybe even a decade or so while he's ready to go and God says, slow. I need to do something in you first. What's God doing while you're waiting? God is always working while you're waiting. From the beginning of time, no eye has seen, no ear has heard about all that God does, how He's working for those who are waiting. So, what do you do while you're waiting? What do you do while you're waiting? Well, since you know God is working, don't waste the waiting. Don't waste the waiting. A waiting season isn't a wasted season if you continue to seek and push into God. I'll say it this way because I know, and my heart goes out to so many of you. There are many people in my orbit, our close inner circle right now, that are really crying out to God, praying for healing in very dark situations, praying for miracles in marriages, praying for supernatural touch of God. And I would just say this, don't wait passively. What does a waiter do at a restaurant? They serve. In other words, let's be serving while we're waiting. Let's be growing while we're waiting. Let's not wait. Let's passively, let's wait actively and pressing in to God. It's never, ever easy, but don't just wait passively, but wait faithfully. Maybe doing something that helps you grow closer to God. And what I want to do is I want to show you something that maybe will build your faith in God's timing. And I'll give you a little history from the time of the Garden of Eden all the way from the beginning of creation to the birth of Christ. The world was waiting on a Messiah. And it had been prophesied over and over and over again. The Messiah is coming. The Messiah is coming. The Messiah is coming. And for generation after generation, people wonder, why is God taking so long? And though they didn't know then, we know now that the world wasn't ready yet. The world wasn't ready. And I give you a little bit of history known as the period of the intertestamental period. And this was the 400 year period between the book of Malachi, or even some would say Nehemiah, to the end of the Old Testament, Malachi through John the Baptist. During that 400 or so year period, no prophet spoke on behalf of God, which was brutal because before that time, while they were waiting on the Messiah, at least God was talking. And suddenly, there was nothing, which may feel like some of what you feel right now. You're praying for something and you're believing for something and you're having faith in God and you're pursuing God and you're trying to keep pressing into God, but it feels like God's gone silent, like he's dark, like there's nothing there. And you're just asking for a sign. Give me a sign, anything. A feeling, a Bible verse, a song on WCQR, what that I really, really like. God, just give me anything. And yet you feel like he's just silent. And I want to remind you that just because God feels silent doesn't mean that he's absent. While you are waiting, he's still working. He's still the God of the universe. He's working behind the scenes to bring about good to all those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So, while you're waiting, he's working. And what is he doing? Well, the world was waiting on a Messiah. And he simply wouldn't come. And Genesis 4 tells us this in verse 4. But when, the what? But when the right time came, what did God do? God sent his son. When the time was perfect, when the time was right, God sent His Son. And looking back, we can see why God waited for the exact time. I'll give you three things that happened during this time, during that 400-year period, okay? Number one, there was the Socratic method that became a new way of learning instead of the didactic method where there was a direct teaching of truth. For the first time in history, people were encouraged, students were encouraged to ask questions. And then throughout all of history, the Old Testament had been written in Hebrew until maybe 280 or so BC. Number two, the Old Testament was actually translated into Greek during that 400-year period. And the third thing was the world altering is that Alexander the Great conquered the world. Now, on a side note, if you conquer the world, they add great to your name, Alexander the Great. Well, what does this mean? Well, it means now there was a common language. Everyone spoke a little Greek. And during that time, there was something known as the diaspora, where the Jews were forbidden to live in Jerusalem. So they spread all over the world, and Rome was developing roads and highways throughout the entire empire. So therefore, during that 400-year period, while they were waiting, God was working. And for the very first time in history, we see three things. The first thing is the people were encouraged to ask questions. And God sent the answer, whose name was Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. The second thing is that everyone now had access to the Bible in a language that they understood. And number three, for the first time in history, the good news could spread in a common language through the Jewish people to the entire known world. While they were waiting, God was working, setting up things for the spread of the gospel. When the time was just right, not early, and not late, but in the perfect time, God sent His Son, born of a virgin, not to condemn the world, but to save the world. Not to come for the healthy, but to come for the sick. Not to come for those who proclaim that they were righteous, but to come for those who are broken in sin. When the time was right, when the time was just right, when the time was just right, God sent His Son. So, if you're struggling a little bit and you're waiting, like I get it. I get it. I totally get it. You're asking God to answer your prayer. Like, when will my child come to Christ? When will I get a job with benefits? When will you do something in this marriage to get us out of the pain? When can I get a real house or get a car that runs? Whatever it is, you're waiting. It may not even be some of those big things. It may be some of the more small and annoying things. If you feel like you're in a holding pattern right now, it seems like God's giving you the silent treatment. I want to remind you, Just because he's silent doesn't mean that he's absent. What I promise you is our good God loves you, and he's not ignoring you. He's not neglecting you, and he has not forgotten you. Maybe it's not ready yet. Maybe God's working on it. Or maybe you are not ready yet, and God's still working on you. Or maybe, and I have to tell you this, maybe God's not ever going to do what you're asking him to do. Maybe he's not. Because he's still God. And it's not about our preferences. It's all about his glory. Scripture says this. In fact, God said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." If you're waiting, God is working. And maybe he's working on it. Maybe he's working on you. Or maybe he's not ever going to do exactly what you want him to do, because he's not there to serve our wishes. We are here to serve him and to glorify him. And we have to remember that we serve God. Jesus learned that. He knew it. He lived it. My time is not. It's not about what I want. It's not about my time yet. God hadn't said it's the time. Then God did say it was the time. And when it was the time, it wasn't for Jesus' benefit. Meaning, what God called him to do was not something Jesus, in his own physical desire for comfort, wanted. He didn't want to do it at all. Jesus said this, he said, "The hour has come." Before he said it hadn't come, not it's come for the Son of Man to be glorified. And how did he feel about this? Well, finally, I get to suffer. Here's what he said. "Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." Jesus said, "No, I was for this very reason. I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Father, glorify your name. God, if you do what I want, when you want, glorify your name. If you do what I want later than I want, when you want, God, glorify your name. God, if you never do what I want, glorify your name. God, glorify your name." Because he is the supreme creator of the universe. And yet he loves you, and he always has your best interest at heart. And your best interest isn't always what you want now. He's got eternity on his mind. And the good news is, while you're waiting, he is working. He's working. He's working. In all things, he's working. Everything for the good, for your good, to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. It doesn't say for exactly what you want, but it does say for your good. So I'm going to be praying, because it's not what I want, but Father, glorify your name. And so ultimately, here's kind of where I stand. I'm going to trust in him. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to tell you right now, with everything in me, I believe that all things are possible with our good God. That the name of Jesus is bigger than depression. And the name of Jesus is bigger than cancer. And the name of Jesus can save any brokenness. The name of Jesus is bigger than any addiction. The name of Jesus is bigger. We call on Him. We believe He can. We believe He'll heal. We believe He'll restore. We believe He'll bring back the broken relationships. We believe that He'll heal the cries of our heart. We believe that we will be free. We believe that we'll see Him work. We'll see Him restore the relationship. We believe that He can, and we believe that He will. We believe He is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than all we can ask, think, or imagine, according to His power, that He is at work within His people through the church, that He may be glorified. We believe that He can, and we believe that He will. And even if He doesn't, we still believe. We still worship. We still praise. And Father, glorify Your name. Glorify Your name. We trust You. We trust You. I believe that You can. I believe that You will. And even if You don't, God, I still believe. Father, glorify Your name. Let us pray. God, we ask right now, as we know there are so many people that are crying out to You, some who've maybe even given up, wondering if You're there, God, would You build our faith and teach us to trust? God, draw us close. God, we thank You that while we're waiting, that You're working. That since You're working, we're not going to waste the waiting. We're going to press into You. We're going to ask You for provision in the name of Jesus. God, we're asking You for restoration. God, we ask that You would work. And God, we do believe that You can, that all things are possible. And God, we believe that You will, that You hear the cries of our hearts. And yet ultimately, God, we do trust You. We glorify Your name. And even if You don't, God, we still believe. And Father, we ask that as we wait on You, build our faith to trust in You, knowing You're a good God who loves us. Your timing's always perfect. And You're always good. So help us to put our faith in You. For we pray today in Jesus' name. Amen.